Welcome to Supernatural. This is week 5 of our 7 or 8 part series, and I'm going to do a bit of a rewind. We saw in week 1 that God loves us perfectly. He's pulled us into another dimension, into, if you like, another world. He's taken us from this world into a supernatural world. And there's this transformation that's taken place in our lives that we are no longer the same. We've gone from dark to light. We've gone to dead to alive. We've gone from being a slave to being a son. Being a sinner. We've gone from human to superhuman. We've gone from earthly to heavenly. It's like we're not from this place. We are aliens. We've gone from natural to supernatural. The old has gone. The new has come. We are new creatures. And do you remember how we declared that's where the song came from? It was written by the band for that week. If you remember, I am supernatural because I am. And so we're busy talking about what does it mean to think supernaturally? And this was a scripture that we used last week. Remember it? Let's say it together. Because of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. We saw that our thoughts shape us. Our very character is created by something that I think. And so it's important to be careful of what I think about. If I think negative, I'm going to become negative and probably become a slasher person and kill lots of people along the way. We saw that there were two kinds of thinking. We contrasted natural thinking, supernatural. We said we need to move towards supernatural thinking. We need to leave behind negative thinking and embrace positive thinking. We need to leave behind small thinking and embrace big thinking. Doubtful thinking, Ponzi. Get up with what kind of thinking? Possible thinking. We need to put down selfish thinking and raise up selfless thinking. And last week we said, because God is supernatural, I think I can. Most of you changed that to, I know I can, if you remember last week. And that was a powerful time. I saw an ad on TV on I think it was Monday night. We were sitting watching something. It was an LG ad for borderless television. Particularly want a borderless television, but I do want to live possibility. I do want to live without limits, without barriers, just like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Mr. Briggs, your mission, should you decide to accept it, would be to remove both nuclear devices from Santa Costa.
Good morning, Mr. Phelps. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Morning, Mr. Hammond. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, involves recovery of a stolen item, designated Chimera.
If you've ever played a computer game, you know something about receiving a mission. Maybe you've played Halo. Maybe you played Call of Duty or Command and Conquer or one of the others. In each scenario, there's a credible threat, someone that's standing against us and freedom.
Good news first. The world's in great shape. We've got a civil war in Russia, government loyalists against ultranationalist rebels, and 15,000 nukes at stake.
Khaled Al-Assad,
currently the second most powerful man in the Middle East. Now, word on the street is he's got the minerals to be top dog down there. Intel's keeping an eye on him.
And the bad news?
We've got a new guy joining us today, fresh out of selection. His name's Soap. Good to see you, mate. Take one of the rifles from the table. Now go get a sidearm from the armory. Good.
Come. So there's a mission. Should you decide to accept it? Before you head out into enemy territory, you better select your weapons. Get to the combat zone as soon as you can. There's nothing like riding in a helicopter. It would be the thrill of your life, I can promise you. Except, you know, that people are shooting at you, and that's not the fun part, really. And at some point, you know that you're going to have to cover ground on foot. You're going to need to approach your target. You need to get into position, wait until everyone's ready, and complete your objectives. Just in the same way a young boy was given a mission. And here is David, robotic style. This monster of a robot was facing the armies of Israel. Everyone was running for their lives. Everyone was afraid. This young boy steps forward and he gets ridiculed by this giant. "Who are you, little small dude, coming to fight me? I'm going to rip your head off." He bends down, picks up a little smooth stone, sticks it in his weapon, lets loose into the chink in the giant's armor. Only God could have guided that projectile with that slingshot. Your mission, Ignite Youth, should you choose to accept it. Hang on a moment. What is this mission that we've got? Well, we've been thinking this week about a couple things generally about our mission. It's to follow Jesus. It's to walk behind him. It's to go where he goes. It's to do what he does. Jesus said, "Come follow me." In the next breath, in the next sentence, he said, "And I will make you fish for men." I want you to go out and touch other people's lives. Bring other people in. It's the grand original pyramid scheme. I come into the scheme and I bring other people into the scheme with me. It's also making disciples. It's helping them to grow to spiritual maturity. It's also about shining before men. Let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds. And it's about meeting people's needs. Remember, selfless? It's about looking around, seeing who has a need, and reaching out. Jesus said, "I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. I needed clothes, and you gave me some of your clothes. I was sick, you came and you healed me. I was in prison, you came and visited me, and you cared for me." So that's the first declaration of two we're going to say this morning. Because God is supernatural, I will accept his mission to follow Jesus. Say that with me. Because God is supernatural, I will accept his mission to follow Jesus. Secondly, because God is supernatural, I will accept his mission to fish for men. Thirdly, because God is supernatural, I will accept his mission to make disciples. Number four, because God is supernatural, I will accept his mission to shine before men. Number five, because God is supernatural, I will accept his mission to meet people's needs. That's a big ask, but that's the mission that we've been given. In this call of duty, I think number six or seven is probably out at the moment. But there's a second part that I want to challenge you to this morning, to select your weapons. And the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We're not talking firearms. We're not talking knives. These have divine power to demolish strongholds. These are supernatural. And now we have maybe enough time to do some of this, but every time I introduce a weapon, they are super weapons. They're not normal, everyday, pansy mission weapons. Okay, we're not talking wimpy. We're talking Mike's kitchen weapons, higher level, okay? I want to give you a chance to, if you want, ask a question. And there's going to be a microphone here that you can use. Imta, if you just move one down from the stage. If you want to make a comment, if you want to share a testimony, you're welcome to do that. Are you ready to hear about eight weapons that are supernatural? That you cannot... Andrew, just move this mic down over here. Thanks, Mtala. These are not things that you can do just of your own. Weapon number one is to speak in tongues. Jesus said that his followers would speak in new tongues. I grew up in a church that said that this wasn't real. Either it was flesh, or it was of the devil. And I lived the vast majority of my life without one of the most important weapons. If I pray over someone and I want to discern what God's doing and what they need, I will pray in tongues. It's a new way of speaking. It's a prayer language between God and us. And all I have to do is I pray with my, not my mind, but with my spirit, and God will whisper his thoughts to me. God will, it's like powering up. You know how like when you want to power up in the game, you want to go into the spirit realm and do that. Anyone have a question about that? Just so you know, we're going to spend 2 weeks on these 8 supernatural weapons. So, and we're going to activate them. We're going to turn them on. Anyone want to make a comment, ask a question before we move on, or testimony? Anyone? First weapon, speak in tongues. How many of you is that a lived reality in your life? Anyone raise your hand? Couple of you. Hey, that's cool. This is not something just meant for the elite few. That's awesome. Okay? We'll come back to that one in week 2. The second weapon is to share wisdom. This is how Paul says it. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge. It's that moment when you receive something that you could not have known otherwise. So you know something about someone that no one's told you that you could only have known if God had whispered in your ear. Anyone ever experienced that at some point where you just know something, you just get this thought, hey, this person's problem is this. Or I was praying down in church a while ago and this girl had a rash on her hand. And I was just praying like, Lord, what is it? Why is it not going? And God just said to me, she's got unforgiveness with an extended family and she's worried. She's in turmoil about something happened in her external family. And you know what the hard part was? To say that. To tell her that. But I did it. I stepped out and immediately she began to cry and the rash began to disappear. Because the stress, the turmoil in what was happening was causing that rash in her body. I didn't know that. I couldn't download that off the internet. I didn't get that from someone with a microphone. Hey, Mark, I know her brother, and her brother's just said that she's got problems with her extended family. Okay? We didn't do that. Okay? Anytime, stop me if you want to make a question. We're getting... Come up, Andrew. Share wisdom.
Hello. There we go. Okay, cool. On Wednesday, we were planning Friday night's event, and then suddenly everything that I thought had been planned wasn't planned anymore, and Mark and Imta said, no, go start again and do something new. So Thursday and Friday, I'm stressing, I'm typing, I'm doing work, I'm in this coffee shop, and I'm busy working away, typing on my computer, and the next thing, this lady walks in, but she kind of sort of like staggers in. She's like, so I look at her and I don't really like think too much about it, but she sits next to me and this other guy comes and sits next to me and I'm telling him about what's happening at church. And she's kind of overhearing the conversation. And the next thing, she gets up and she comes and sits here next to me. So I think she wants to talk, but I'm real busy and I'm focused on doing my work. And anyway, she gets up eventually to go and pay. And at that point, while I'm busy typing, suddenly I hear in my head, lymph node glaucoma. And I don't know what lymph node glaucoma is. I've never heard of it. But I hear lymph node glaucoma. And then God says, go and pray for her. So I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm busy now. You know, so I get up and I go to her. And now it's a bit weird. I'm feeling uncomfortable. She sees me coming. So I'm like, excuse me, ma'am. This is a bit weird, but I feel like I need to pray for you. So she kind of looks at me a bit funny. And then and I said, do you have anything that you're suffering from, any illness? So she like kind of nods and she goes, yeah, I've actually just had a breast removed. I've got breast cancer. And this right breast has been taken away. And she says that the next day she's going to go for an operation and they're going to try and remove the other malignant parts that are still there. So I'm like, okay, hectic. So I say, well, can we pray for that? So she says, yes. So I hold her hand and we start to pray. And while we're praying, suddenly I feel all the pain that she's been feeling, like all this emotional pain and rejection and everything. She starts to cry. I start to cry. Eventually, I'm like, okay, this is over now. Thank you. Goodbye. Bless you. See you later. Anyway, she says that she's working at this one place. And this week, I hope to go and see if she's there. And I just trust that God's going to have healed her. So that was a word of knowledge that I've never had before.
Awesome, awesome. Can you see why I say it's a super weapon? It's not something you can just do or work out on your own. Heal the sick. And these signs will, listen to this, this is Jesus saying, eh? These signs will accompany those who believe. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. They will, they will get well. I mean, that is just in your face. Jesus is saying you will pray for people. Anyone ever had God heal someone through them, through your prayers? Anyone? I know Imtan and I have been sharing some stories in the last few weeks, and we won't repeat all those. But God is wanting to touch people's lives and to heal them. Yes, come back. Thanks, Lolu.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Like our school in Parktown Boys, Andrew is helping us, like, and we have a Champs for Christ in our school. And like I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we were just like sharing stories because we didn't really know what to do because we had so much time in our hands. And we were just sharing stories. And then it wasn't me, but one of my friends, his name is Michael Dawson, he was busy telling us and like about one of his encounters with like healing and stuff. And he was telling us how one of his friends and another guy, right? And you know, like people who have their legs amputated and stuff, like one leg is shorter than the other. Like he was busy sitting there and everything, and like they're busy talking and stuff. And then he sees his leg, and he's like, okay, like. And then God asks him to pray for the guy. And like, you know, amputation, it is permanent. There is no way, no earthly way that it can that leg can grow back. So now the guy prays for him and stuff. And the guy who had his leg amputated literally saw his leg grow.
Mm.
He saw his foot come out and he saw his leg grow. Okay? Now that might be a little gross to some people, but it was amazing. Like, really. So, like.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's not gross if you're the one with the leg that's growing. It's like miracle to God. Okay?
My stepdad's dad, he came down for a month from, they live in Holland, but they came down because my stepdad turned 50, so this big birthday party and everything, so he came down and I went to Pietermaritzburg to visit my dad. And while I was there, my stepdad had a stroke, my stepdad's father had a stroke. And so they admitted him into hospital, and then they discovered he had a stroke on the side of his brain. He had an aneurysm on the other side of his brain, and he had a disease where all his arteries were kind of falling apart. So they discovered this all at the same time. And then at the same time, there was someone else, my mom goes to a different church, and there was someone in their church who also had a stroke. He had a stroke, this other guy in the church, he had a stroke, and he was on life support. He was in a coma. Anyway, so my grandpa, he couldn't move at all. All this coordination was like messed up, and I just felt that God wanted to heal him. And the doctor told us that because of his disease in his arteries, he wasn't allowed to travel anymore. And that's basically the only reason that he put up with Holland was because he wanted to come to South Africa every year. So he told him he wasn't allowed to travel anymore. He had to be in a hospital. And where my grandparents live, there are no hospitals, so they'd have to move. He told them, like, all this hectic stuff. So I thought, well, you know what, God, I think that you want to heal him. So I prayed for him, and it was like, okay, yeah, nothing's really happening. Then my sister went, and she laid hands on him, and she prayed for him. Basically, my grandpa's now walking. He's allowed to travel again. They said that the aneurysm's so old that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect him at all. And he's gone back to Holland now, and he's fine. And he's moving as if everything was normal.
So. Awesome. Awesome. Now, in the next breath, Jesus says, after heal the sick, he says, raise the dead. And I know you don't believe me, so I took a photograph last night of my Bible, and I'm going to zoom you in. It's Matthew chapter 10. It's round about there in the middle, as you can see, round about 7, as you go, preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy. He doesn't explain it, he just says it. Paul did it once with a little guy that fell out of a window. He lay on him and the guy came back to life. I found 7 instances in scripture. 3 of those were Jesus. So we're not just talking Jesus doing this. It was Elijah, Elisha, Jesus a couple times. Peter raised Dorcas or Tabitha, and Paul raised that young man who fell out the window when he preached too long. We're going to explore this in the coming weeks and talk about what it is and what's with the healing of the dead. I want to talk about weapon number 5 is to drive out demons. Jesus gave the 12 power and authority to drive out demons. I once had a guy run at me with a knife at night time, and I don't know if he was drunk, but I put up my hand and I said, in the name of Jesus, leave him. And that guy disintegrated in front of me, like he just dropped the weapon and he just became almost like inanimate. And it was like he just sobered up and all his aggression just disappeared. That was a demon manifestation. And we've seen that even in this room on one occasion. And Christ is saying that you have power and authority. You have the power and you have the authority to drive out all demons. Weapon number six is prophecy. One of the key weapons in this church, I believe, is prophetic insight, knowledge, wisdom. Carol Gosman leads a whole school of the prophets. I know Debbie's one of them. They meet on a Sunday morning, a Saturday morning once a month, and Retabile too. And they wait on God for words of insight, of just, God, what is the future? And if you're ever in the service downstairs, even up here, we've had them from time to time. Grace is going to come up and share with us. Be eager to prophesy. In other words, want to do it. Do it, Carol. And make sure that it's something that you're a part of.
Sorry, this is just to go back really quickly about the driving out demons one. I was speaking to my brother recently. He's in the States now. And he remembered, and he was like, oh, there's a bunch of stuff that happened to me when I was in Australia, because he was in Australia for a couple months this year. He's like, there's a lot of stories that happened I just forgot to tell you. So I was like, okay, like, you know, tell us some of them. He was like, the one time, him and a couple of his friends, they went on like an outreach in the, like the city, like downtown, whatever, in Australia. And so they went out, and there was a couple of like, I don't know, guys in the hood, whatever, in this corner. They went over and they started talking to them. And they were trying to tell them, they're like, about love. And they're like, you know, that God really loves you. And this is a real love. This is a love, you know, you've probably never experienced, whatever. So one guy came right up to my brother and he said, if I took a knife out right now and stabbed you, what would you say? And so my brother just looked at him and said, I'd still love you. And so they just stared at each other for like 30 seconds. And my brother's like thinking, am I going to die right now? And then the guy just turned away and he was like, okay, well, you know what love is.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. The power and the authority in the believer. We asked the question this week whether this one, weapon seven, perform miracles, is not covered in all the others, but there were some dramatic miracles. And it says, in the church, God has appointed workers of miracles. There have been opportunity to bring change, to change the natural order. I mean, Jesus went around doing miracles, but throughout the Bible, people did some dramatic miracles. You know, Paul's handkerchief was even used to heal people. His shadow even heal people at one point. Walking in the miraculous, and we want to trust God for that. We're going to talk about the last weapon, which is dreams and visions. Listen to this verse that I found. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. I heard an amazing story that Debbie shared. I might ask her to come and share it in and around a funeral. So maybe it's a bit of a sad background. But listen to this, how God gave someone a dream that brought comfort to family members.
My mom passed away just over a week ago. And while we were at the memorial, before we went to the memorial, my mom's best friend ran up to meet us. And she said, Debbie, my daughter who's in the UK has just phoned me, and she had a dream. And the dream was that her daughter was going up these stairs. She said it was like a grand hotel, these huge stairs leading up. And as my daughter was going up the stairs, your mom came down with a man. Now, I lost my dad when I was 11. And when they met each other on the stairs, and my mom said, Vicky, I want to introduce you to my kid. My kid, this is Vicky. And that was the end of her dream. And so she phoned and she said, I know that Auntie Barbara's gone to heaven, but the awesome thing is that my mom, now Vicky didn't, she knew my mom in South Africa, but never really saw photos of my dad or anything like that. She knew that my mom always called, she didn't know that my mom always called my dad her kid, like my child, you know, my kid. And also, when Auntie Eve said to her, like, Vicky, what did this man look like? She said, he looks like Debbie's youngest brother. And out of all our kids, he's the only one that looks more like my dad. And so it's just awesome that we did, we had peace. I mean, I always knew my mom went to heaven, but just to know that, that she came down the stairs and that she's with my dad, because I know my dad's going to heaven as well, was just really awesome. And we were all really, really encouraged after that.
Awesome, awesome. God can reveal the future. He can reveal what's next for you in your life. He can reveal what you should be giving your life to, because he reveals himself in the future. I want to challenge you this morning as we close, and I know that there's parents at the door probably screaming even as I do this, to either accept or reject these weapons. It's your opportunity. You can say, I'm going to embrace these. If you reject them, you stay in natural thinking. You'll be negative, you'll be small, you'll be doubtful, you'll be selfish, right? Who wants to live there? I don't. I want to click on the accept button. How many of you take the mouse quickly? Just grab your mouth, right-handed. Just move it up, click there. If you accept them, click, click now. Click, cool. You're moving to now the supernatural. Now we're in a whole new area, right? Positive thinking. We're into big thinking. We're into possible thinking. We're into selfless thinking. So here's the declaration. Because the battle is supernatural, I need super weapons. And we didn't want to do that. I need supernatural weapons. Let me take you back to that, and I'm going to talk you through those. It's my last slide. There we go. Supernatural weapons like speaking in tongues, sharing wisdom, healing the sick, raising the dead, drive out demons, prophesying, performing miracles, and engaging in dreams and vision. Here's the last thought this morning. That no matter what lies ahead of you, no task that is ahead of you is as great as the power behind you. All you need to do is look over your shoulder and realize that Jesus Christ is standing there, and there ain't nothing in front of you that you can't accomplish. Imta challenged you, and so did Imtala this morning. Hey, that is anything bigger than Jesus? Heck no. Nothing. He's way bigger. We're going to take an awesome worship break next Sunday. We're going to just soak and do some amazing worship stuff. And the week after that, we start 2 weeks of acting supernatural. We're going to visit these eight weapons. We're going to put them into our arsenal. We're going to practice them. So I don't know about the death, but we're going to say, God, what are you saying to us with these supernatural weapons? And God is going to upskill us, take us to a whole new level. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning for laying before us a vision of what we can step into. We don't want to just stay natural. We want to move into the supernatural realm. You are moving us forward. You are putting us into a new dimension. Thank you for the way that you encouraged Debbie's family this week through a dream. That's not something we can make up. She couldn't have known what her dad looked like. She couldn't have known her dad's secret name from her mum. And only you could have come and spoken to that family words of hope and comfort. And we want to operate like that. We want to wake up with a dream, and when we get to school, you say it's for that teacher or for that friend. We want to take these weapons, and we want to move up to the next level. We thank you for being with us. We bless you for this awesome time this morning. Bring us back. Help us to have a supernatural week.